Previously on Short Quest, Long Rest, Good Vibrations.
And if you're serious about saving Sedona, which I pray you are, then report to Bastion within the eye, post haste.
I don't like that.
I know we gotta be quick, but going to them might be faster in the long run.
So let's go back and let them feel like they got some control.
So, any other awkward goodbyes? She kinda like puts her hands up like, eh?
To Absalom Station, says as he's climbing the ramp.
If the Zlanti had come up with something like this, like, we would just be in a much better place in the galaxy right now.
Well, we all ready to meet the military?
So, real question, what are you guys doing with Aristo? And welcome to Absalom Station! Welcome, everybody, to Short Quest Good... God damn it, I did it again. Short Quest Long Rest Good Vibrations.
How's everybody? Quest Vibrations good.
Vibrations are good in this quest that is short. There, nailed it. Mm-hmm. Nailed it. Nailed it in one.
Dane's been taken over by an alien.
Yeah. We are here to play Gamers, we play here.
Let's play a human game.
My arms bend backwards. What's that? I think that's one of the lines from fucking, oh god, what's that show? That really fucking weird show. David Lynch, Pines, Twin Peaks? Twin Peaks, yeah. There's that part where he goes to, like, the end, they go into, like, the backwards world. Like, I get my arms bend all the way backwards. Like, something like that, but fucking always really creepy. So! Man, how's everybody feeling tonight? This is good. We watched Josie get really frustrated at Elden Ring.
Hey,
I
started off frustrated, and then I thought of it being combat DDR, and then I got like happy and kind of smug again.
And then it turned into grim determination.
Yeah, I was gonna say. Yeah. Was that before or after? You muted me.
I didn't mute you ever. I muted up myself. And at the time I muted up myself, I was like, you know, a samurai just sitting there very still waiting for them to strike. And I still
she
died.
She was a leaf on the wind.
But yeah, I did very well that time, I felt.
And similar to the situation where that phrase was used, was then impaled.
It was a flail. It crushes and smashes you. It doesn't.
I know.
Doesn't
it was from Firefly.
You.
It's bludgeoning damage. God.
Yeah.
Dane.
Get it right. I was crushed.
Yeah,
like
I'm
a
an
bug
idiot.
On that window and not stabbed through.
I'm the asshole here.
I was crushed to death. All right.
Oh shit! 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 Okay, man. Okay, so what's everybody doing? You know, I mean, I figure we don't need to just roll into this. Like, what's anybody pick up any new hobbies lately? Like,
yeah, I picked up Scrimshaw.
Scrimshaw. That's a good one. Yeah. Like whittling away the nice little things for, like, boat bows and shit like that.
Yeah, I call it erotic Scrimshaw.
Sweet. Is that, like, the mermaids on the front with the boobies?
Just a bunch of dicks.
It's a bunch of just crudely drawn penises.
You know what? That's a fucking power move, though. If a ship rolls into fucking port, its bow is just a big dick just sticking straight out the front, all erect. Just
the SS biggest dick is.
The biggest dick
is. That's ocean fucker.
It gives a whole new meaning to ramming speed.
Yep. Oh, that's good. That is good, Josie. Oh.
That's me, Pirate Captain Cockbeard.
Yeah, fuck your ship.
Oh, great. You say Captain Cockbeard. Now I think of, like, Davy Jones from the Pirates of the Caribbean movie.
Oh, the tentacle speed penises?
The Dread Cockbeard.
The Dread Pirate Cockbeard. Give me your booty.
gag me.
Oh, no.
Just don't get him too excited. No. He can't see.
Butt stuff. Yeah.
My beard standing on end.
My beard be engorged.
Oh, shit.
We're all children.
Best intro ever. Oh, man.
Oh, no.
I love it. Oh, I love it. Okay, so. Oh, where were we? What did you guys do last? Okay, so. I'm not going to go into crazy. I've done some recaps that were a little too long, but this time we're going to bring it down a little bit. We're going to slow it down for everybody. It's a couple skate now. That's what we're doing here.
You're not going to go ramming speed?
Nope, not ramming speed in this one. I think that's one of my drawbacks. I get so excited about playing. I start going fast. I'm like, and then you guys do this. It's really fucking sweet. Hey, what's about that? You do flip. Oh, yeah, sweet. I need to take it back a little bit. Just got to bring it down. Just take it down a couple notches right about here. Mm-hmm. We're gonna play ourselves a little game of Starfinder tonight, everybody. And I hope you're all ready for this. I hope you're ready. Get your bodies ready for a little bit of Starfinder tonight. So. Mm-hmm. So just doing a little recap of what happened on Starfinder before we... You guys, you went to a nice little planet called Nikondas. Little jungle place, very nice. I'm not going to go into all the minutia of what happened, but essentially you saved a planet. You saved it from an occupying army. So, after doing so, you find your friend, Sedona. Sedona 17 isn't where you thought she was going to be. She's been taken. But you're not 100% sure where. You just know Aslanti's space. So, you get a message. Get a message from someone named Dipadra, and she says she wants you to come back to Absalom Station to have a nice little meet. Okay, I can't do that voice anymore. Sorry. So she tells you you guys are coming back to Absalom Station, and she might have some information and wants to work, maybe talk with you. I didn't say she wants to work with you. She didn't technically say that, but she did say that she hopes you guys were serious about this and to meet with her back on Absalom Station. In fact, Dipadra, why don't y'all give me a culture check to see if you know who Dipadra is.
Ooh, I'm on that.
Yeah. Okay.
I am Eddie, very you know cultured.
What? Oh, hells yeah. You just rolled a fucking natty 20 on that shit.
For a 30.
Holy shit. Atta girl. Okay. And Eddie, I'm going to give a little bit of this to you already, but just because you were a military brat. But
okay.
Dipadra, though, is one of the directors of the stewards, a director of the stewards. Now, the entirety of, like, all the steward command is broken up into 7 people. There's the deputy director, which is essentially, like, the main person in charge, which is a person named Lynn Camulon. There are 3 admirals that make up the fleet. That is Echo 7, Gorvak Dorgoda, and Noor Irular. And then there's 3 directors. Vishak, the commander of the Peace Watch, which is essentially the cops of the Pack World. Kernaxian, head of the research and development of the stewards. And then Dipadra, director of ops. Ops is the same group that Sedona 17 was a part of. Now, on top of that, with a role that friggin' ridiculous, I'm gonna say that, Ginger, you know that not only is Dipadra part of stewards, is very, very, very high up on the list, like, essentially, like, second in command. Like, there is, it's not even like, you know, there's the deputy director, and then below them, the other 6 are, like, all the same level. So, like, she is, like, second level of the entirety of stewards. Not only do you know that she's that high ranking, but that she's normally not even on Absalom Station. She's actually, she operates out of a place called Roselight on the planet of Liavara, which is a gas giant just outside the diaspora. So, if she's there at the stewards' HQ and is going there to meet you there, then she's probably not fucking around as far as having a conversation with you guys. So, just putting all that out there. Now, you guys have pulled up into Absalom Station. You have debarked. You went through customs. They pushed you right through once they found out who you were. And now that you guys are back in civilization, what you doing?
I am so ready to go and find a drink.
Nice.
I don't know about the rest of you.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to need to be a little tight for this, I think.
Yeah, you know, just like, you know, you get a shot or two just to kind of take the edge off before we go and meet these people, because I feel like if we don't go, we'd probably be hunted down. That's just kind of the vibe I get. Like, you don't say no to someone that important.
Who?
Big wig.
Is she that important?
Like, could probably make you disappear important, yeah. If they were inclined to, you know.
Wish they might be. Is there one near where we're supposed to go? And by one, I mean a bar.
A bar? I don't know if nearby, we would say, but I'm sure you guys could find one.
Yeah, like, en route.
Yeah, en route, that's perfectly fine. In fact, I will say that as you guys are kind of having this conversation and wandering out of the debarkation area, you kind of step out onto the city streets of Absalom. Like, it's like essentially like a, like coming out of an airport, essentially. You're walking out on Sam Street. The view is actually very nice, which is usually the case when you first step out onto like a new planet or a new station, because that's what they want people to see. It's the touristy area and everything. So there's these nice businesses, food carts, random vendors with smiles on their faces, greeting passerbys and complimenting and schmoozing and all that. And above you guys is a hollow sky. So it looks like a summer day. Like, it's giving off this illusion of this sunny day in a busy metropolis. There's hover cabs and other vehicles zoom along the streets as if you're in a city down on one of the packed worlds. And out of the corner of your eye, you catch the sight of this half-orc woman wearing a nice suit and a chauffeur cap and holding a sign labeled Good Vibrations as they start making their way over to you.
Oh, Jesus.
God.
I mean, like, has... Okay, so she spotted us?
She is. She does seem to be, like, connected to you. Also, I want to ask a question. Is Aristo with you guys?
No.
Nope, you left him on the...
Yeah,
the,
probably...
Wasn't he with ship? Us because yeah. we didn't trust him on the ship?
Oh, yeah. We took him with us.
Right, yeah.
And told him not to talk.
That's right. That's right. I do remember that now. So, okay. No, I mean, honestly, I'm not trying to freak you out or anything, because Aristo, like I said, he looks human. So that's, Aslanti are essentially human. So if, unless, you know, he walks around and says, hey, Aslanti Empire over here, buds, then you're probably fine.
For the Aeon Throne.
Yep. He's like, yeah, hey, dude. For the Aeon Throne. Hey, you.
Oh, God.
Hey, you there, pretty lady. For the Aeon Throne.
Hold on. Remind me. It's the only language he speaks as Lanty.
That's a very good question.
I thought you said he knew common because he was a communications.
Yeah, I would say he was a communications officer. Okay. So I would say yes. He knows a bit of common, at least passable common that, you know, you might think he's a Rimworlder or something like that.
All right. I'm going to kind of lean over to him and like, okay, babe. So remember... as much as you might want to like throw a salute kind of like on instinct, you do that
as
here.
As you see his hand start to go up, he's like, oh, okay.
No, down.
Okay, oh, okay.
You don't want to die. I don't want you to die. I'm pretty sure the others don't want you to die. Or at least like they're tolerating like my affection for you.
That's really nice.
Yeah. So
she doesn't speak for me.
Shut up.
He's like, he will not meet Sadoon's eyes ever.
So do your best and just like, if you pretend that you're mute and do your best job if someone asks you questions, and if you have to answer in common, okay, bae? Remember common?
He just, he nods his head and just like, and that's it. Makes no words.
Oh, I like him. Okay, let's go.
You're so Yeah, people that just do what you say without asking. That makes sense.
Yeah, as you guys are having the conversation with him, this half-orc woman walks up to this side. She's like, you must be the crew of the good vibrations I'm looking for. Is that you? You match the description. She's got a big smile on her face. She's like, but I thought there was only five of you. It looks like
who's
there's
asking?
Six. Oh, my name's Virginia. I'm here. I'm your driver. I'm here on behalf of the stewards.
Virginia
the half-orc. All right.
I don't see why my race has anything to do with this.
No, it doesn't.
Well, if you want to come with me, I'll take you anywhere you guys want to go. They're looking for you at the Bastion, from what I understand.
Yeah. Do you know where the closest bar?
Well, there's the closest bar, or there's a good bar. The closest is probably the Click Clack Club, but that's mostly where all the androids and all the robots hang out. But it's cool. I mean, they're more accepting of people. It's fine. They still have alcohol.
How about one closer to the Bastion?
Well, there is one by the free markets just outside the tunnels, so we could probably go there if you really wanted to. Are you sure you want to get tie one on before you're meeting at the Bastion?
I'm pretty sure.
Oh, hey, you're the boss. Let's go. When you go to the sidewalk, you see of the debarkation, you see like a line of all these hover cars, just like a kind of like an airport. And there's various makes and models, some single seaters decked out in colors, just wild, just like just mind-blowingly wild colors and stuff. Of course, you would expect from, you know, space and shit. While others are like blocky jalopies in these like muted tones with dents and rusts and dots and dotting the whole chassis and whatnot. And the chauffeur walks over to this nice stretch sedan, presses a small button on a key fob, and stands next to the doors as they kind of like both doors open outwards. And there's like this nice little sitting area in the back. Essentially, you got yourselves like a little limo, but not that nice.
Oh, I absolutely hate this.
More like a hover town car. Your chariot awaits. And she like motions towards the doors.
He'll open the door. Stop being such a sourpuss, Sadoon.
Scree, like, dives inside and looks for danger.
See, like, you see your head kind of peek in and, like, look in, like, around the doorway. I'm like, okay, wow, it's a feisty one.
Yeah.
Ta-da! And he puts a thumbs up.
Well, he says we're good to go, so pile in.
Yeah, I'm just kind of curious how much of this car he's going to eat before we get there.
Yeah, it might be. Good amount. Watch.
Scree's looking for snacks or, like, drinks in the back of the car.
Like, beer nuts.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's not like it is not a, like, luxury limo. It is not, you're not going to have, like, champagne, but there are some, like, little beer nuts, like, just sitting kind of in a little compartment
on
the
side. They have, like, those little mini bottles of water.
Yes, they do have mini bottles of water. Nice. No alcohol, but they do have mini bottles of water.
And I'm guessing they're not cold.
No, God, no. Unfortunately, yeah.
He's going to eat them so they pop in his mouth.
Yeah, this is like a mediocre Uber driver
just
at best.
He puts the bottle in his mouth and eats it.
Yeah, just so he can hear that pop.
It's like a gusher. Yeah.
It's like a gusher.
That's one way to do it.
That's too much fun.
Yeah, if everyone's in it, he'll climb in.
Okay. So yeah, as you guys get into the car, you see the door shut, and she gets in the driver's seat. You see her push a button, it starts up, and then the little separator thing kind of goes up between you guys, and then all of a sudden you start seeing like gas start getting pumped in through the sides of the doorways. And I'm just fucking with you.
I was gonna have Scree like immediately like slap Eddie's what is it called? Environmental collar and his own one, and then whip out grenades.
Just start blowing up the back seat with all you in him. I should have let that play it out. That'd have been more fun. But no, nothing happens. In fact, she doesn't even put up the divider unless you ask her to. And so she.
So... Scree was ready to go. Nice.
This isn't terrible. Like, I've been in nicer cars, but...
I'm glad it meets your standards.
Oh, I didn't say anything about it meeting standards.
Okay, great.
Just, sorry, like, little still weirded out by the going to see an authority figure.
Yeah, it's like the authority figure, almost.
Yeah. Really don't like being pinned down like that, you know?
No, and I don't plan on pinning us down.
Yeah. Okay, good.
That's why we're getting a drink.
Yeah, and...
Build that confidence, you know?
Oh no, I'm perpetually confident, but just like, yeah, I could use a little help.
At that moment, there's a... As Scree pops another one of the drinks.
Nice. Just see your mouth all full, just chewing, like, big smile. Like, just having the time of his life.
Just watch the caps, Scree. You might choke on it.
Like a hairball. Yeah.
Give that thumbs up again. Oh shit, I love it.
Now he's trying to make the caps pop off.
Yeah. So, and with the push a button, the car hums to life and lifts slightly up off the ground. She puts on a little turn signal. You can see her turn signal, and then she kind of checks her mirrors and then pulls out into the main road and starts heading down. And so you guys are kind of cruising down the road, and for the most part, she's pretty quiet, unless you guys want to talk with her or if you guys have anything. What do you guys, what's going through your head as you guys are kind of, you know, heading this way? You guys have any conversations, anything coming up that you guys want to talk about? Lots happened since Nakondas, now that you guys are back in the land of the living.
Is there a mini TV back here?
Yeah, why not? Okay. We'll say one's like in the headrest of the back seat.
Okay.
There's like a little mini TV that you can turn on.
Immediately.
Eddie and Ginger reach for the remote, but she gets it first. Damn it.
Hey, you know, you can learn a thing or two by watching them. And I'm going to flip it to Project Galaxy.
Project Galaxy. Aristo just like immediately like kind of puts his arms on his like on his knees. And then, like, his fists under his chin and just, like, kind of, like, stares at the television. Because now he is obsessed with...
And he puts his headphones on.
Nice.
You know, it keeps him quiet, you know?
Is there, like, a little aisle between the seats?
It is. It's, like, one of those wraparound... Like, the back area is kind of, like where the doors open up, there's, like... A seat that kind of goes along the back of the car to the left, and then one across the way, like across the one side of the car. On the same side as the doors, another like smaller set of seats. So like it's like a kind of a circle around type thing. So it all kind
of like
everybody
a cul-de-sac
points,
of seats.
Essentially, yeah, exactly. That all kind of point towards the middle. So similar to like a limo layout, but again, it's more like a town car.
Scree's gonna strut up and down the middle.
Yes. Oh, okay. I see what you mean by an aisle. Yes, there is like a little middle area. So she's just strutting
with like little bottles of water that he's crunching on.
Nice. Got like three or four like under one arm.
Yep.
I like it.
And then
it.
Just one pops in his mouth and he just spilling
like
water
peanuts.
Everywhere.
I love it. So yeah. Unless you guys have something more to discuss after like. Maybe just 5 minutes of driving down. Essentially, it's just this one main drag, and it looks like you're heading towards, like, just essentially down a one main thing. Like, there are some side roads that split off, but these arms, they're big, but they're not, like, infinite. They don't go on forever. You can see, essentially, the ends of them, like, to your left and right. But yeah, you're kind of heading down this main drag, kind of towards what you would assume is probably the center of Absalom Station. And after a little bit, she kind of makes a turn off. And goes down a side road and then a couple more side roads, a left and a right and a left and a right. And you end up at this kind of dive bar, pull up out front, and it's called the Ragtag. You see it on this really shitty sign. that is like, it's, I'm not going to say it's hand painted, but it doesn't look like, it looks like it's, it was at one point like a neon sign, but like the neon had been ripped off. So only like the burnt, like light part behind it is what remains of the actual lettering. And it's got one of those old school, like saloon door type deals. She kind of pulls up. She's like, I mean, it's a bit of a rowdy place, but it, you know, it'll do what you want. If you want to get a couple drinks, I'll park here and I'll be waiting for you guys to come back out. How do you think how long it's going to be? Are you going to be like a while or?
No, I think we should just like, you know, we're just grabbing a quick sip.
Not too long.
Okay. Well, no problem. I mean, I've essentially been hired to for your stay here. I mean, I'm on call, and she actually kind of hands you a little card that has her name and her picture on it. And she's like got a little thumbs up on the picture on the card. It says Virginia. Let's give her a last name. Virginia Bloodstone. That seems like an orky word name. So Virginia Bloodstone. And it says Absalom Luxury Town Car Rentals. And has her number on there. She's like, if you guys need me, if you're ever somewhere and you need a ride, you just give me a call anywhere on Absalom. I'll come pick you up. But I'll wait out here. You guys go ahead on inside, and we'll continue on after that. I'll make sure nobody messes with the car.
Appreciate it.
She just gives a thumbs up.
Give a thumbs up back.
Scree gives thumbs up as well.
She just got a thumbs up on everybody as they're all walking past.
You get 4 thumbs up.
Yep. So if you guys want to add that to your inventory, thumbs up from Virginia.
Aww.
I need to add that last name to it so I don't forget. Virginia Bloodstone.
I think once...
Just in case.
Once we're inside, Ginger's gonna lean over to Eddie and like, you know, it was pretty easy to get out of that situation. Like, you don't have to go back to the car. You think they have someone tracking us?
Probably.
Well, if you want to disappear, just give the word. Like, I can help on that front.
I appreciate it. I think it might be more trouble than it's worth.
Yeah. Worth bringing up.
Yeah.
How about you, Sadoon? Oris?
I think it'll be too much trouble to disappear.
It'd be pretty easy, though. So many people around. But I don't have any plans for it. Not yet, at least.
Speaking of, is there anyone watching us right now as we kind of like part from the vehicle and head in?
Apart from the vehicle, no. As you head in, yeah, a good few eyes of people kind of turn. And it's a very small little dive bar. Like, one of those ones you've probably seen a million times. Looks like one of those Irish pub type things where, like, the moment you walk in, it is a narrow aisle to the back of the place that has, like, probably a bathroom back there. Bars on the left, little wraparound bar. And then, like, 5-6 booths on the right. And then, like, a pool table on the left, like, crammed in. So, like, if you try to get around to the backside of it, you would literally, like, not be able to hit your shot type thing. Like not, like, just the tiniest little thing. Things probably, like, 15 feet wide at its best. There's not a ton of people in this place. Again, it's a dive bar. This is the middle of the afternoon, so there's, like, a couple rough and tough-looking dudes sitting at the bar. There's, like, just a middle-aged guy. Looks like, you know, one of those dudes that you just decided one day to go get a beer in the middle of the day. Maybe took the day off and thinks he may have chosen the wrong bar. Got, like, a cardigan on and just kind of, like, eyeing everybody. Got his beer up, like, just slowly up to his lips and eyeing everybody. So you got some eyes on you as far as that goes. You guys are a little out of place walking in here. Kind of an interesting group for a dive bar like this. Especially you, Ginger, being all gussied up and everything.
Yeah. Patting the hair, making sure it's in place.
There you go. I was gonna say, or did Ginger dress down for this occasion?
Oh, so no.
No? Okay, just wondering.
Was that even a question?
Sadoon. Sadoon meets every one of their gazes.
I was going to say, most of them, as soon as you make eye contact, they kind of turn back to theirs, except the bartender, of course. Just kind of watching you all come in, and he just kind of eyes y'all, just making sure that this is... obviously he sees trouble enough come in that as he eyes you guys, he's just like, oh, Jesus. Like, this is a hell of a group walking in. So what you guys doing?
Walking up to the bar.
Going to the bar, all right. Okay, so yeah. Bartender is this big green vest, so like lizard man type thing. And he's got a tank top on, stained, dirty. And he's, for some reason, even though this is still space, cleaning a glass with a rag. Not a very clean one.
What's going on, Chief?
As he cleans it, he just kind of stares at you for a second. He's like, it's a good day.
Nice.
What you'll need?
Alcohol. Like a glass of it, like yay big.
That's good. I have glass exactly that size.
Great.
He slides you a little glass over. He's like, it come two colors. Do you want dark or clear?
Let's go with dark.
Good. I don't know what the clear is.
Okay.
And starts pouring them and doesn't even ask if anybody else wants it. Just pours five drinks for everybody.
Scree is the first to like grab his and just sucks it down.
Just inhales
it. It's his way of testing for poison is just to immediately drink it.
I like it. And he'll take a drink. Oh, that's stiff.
Is.
That's pretty, yeah.
Oh, wait. Like, do you have a menu? Are there no, like, cocktails?
He kind of looks at you for a second. He then reaches under the bar and pulls out like a drink menu and like blows on it and you just see dust like fly off and he turns around and you see it's got like 10-15 drinks on there that are very common like among the packed worlds, but about 9 of them are scratched off and there's like 4 left and it's just like whiskey. And then but you do know that there is, you see one that is a cosmopolitan.
Oh yeah. Could I like, and she's going to push the small glass of dark alcohol to him and like, no, honey, the Cosmo.
No, I'll take that.
Yeah, he just slides it back over to Sadoon. And then you see him like go back underneath the bar Sadoon again.
He'll have a drink for every arm.
There you go. I like it. So he goes back under the bar and you see him come up with a can. And again, it's all dusty and he like blows off the top and it's all nasty. And he sets it in front of you and pops the top for you. And it's like pina colada or a cosmopolitan in a can.
Hell yeah. It's
like the shittiest like friggin' drink you could possibly think. Just straight up like it's like
yeah, and he's just grinning.
Yeah, it's like the hard Mountain Dews.
She is staring at him and then kind of looks down at the can and looks up at him. And she's gonna give this indignant little snort and take the can and turn away from the bar.
Not many people ordered that.
Yeah, I can see why.
So, what brings you to this part of town?
Business.
Good business or
you don't need to know.
If it was good business, I wouldn't be drinking this.
Try not to tear up my bar, please.
And you heard him scree.
And he's like paused like mid bite, about to bite one of the stools.
No biting.
If you're going to bite stool, bite these ones over here. They are old. They're ready to go. I need new stools anyways. And he points towards the other side of the bar. And you can see they are just the most awful. Like, they are... If a person sat on them, it is probably... I would probably make you roll, like, a 50% chance to see if it just fell apart on you when you sat down.
Scree, like, ducks his head down low, whips his hands out wide, and then just charges at the stools and tackles them.
Okay. Give me a 1d6 roll.
4.
4. Yeah. 4 of the 6 stools at the end just smash. Like as you tackle them, and just are just obliterated. Just splinters everywhere. they were definitely ready to go. So he just kind of, is this one all right?
He's got a lot of energy.
And the two like rough and tough biker guys that were at the bar have now gotten up and left because they are a little uncomfortable around you.
It's okay. He's just asserted his dominance on the bar.
That's right.
And that like businessman guy is like, you see, he has actually fully turned himself like not crouched, but like almost half fetal position to the right, just staring at the wall because he does not want to make eye contact or bring any attention to himself. So, but it is obvious that he is 100% trying to turn away. Like it is a wall without. It's not even like a shenanigans with like all of the friggin' like regalia on the wall or flair or whatever the hell they call it. It is like a bare bone wood wall that he is just staring directly at in his booth. So,
making himself appear like he's deep in thought.
Yep. Yep, yep, yep.
And he's just gonna take back his drink.
That's pretty gross. It's gross stuff.
I don't know what you mean. It's perfect.
It's like jet fuel.
Exactly. Gets the job done.
And suddenly it makes sense why Scree just like body slammed some stools.
Yep.
Considering how small he is and how much he just
taking
like,
that shot, he's hammered already.
Well, I would love to stick around, but we should probably get this over with.
Yeah, I can, you know, finish this on the way. Ginger has hardly sipped her drink.
Gonna dump it out the moment we step outside.
Nice. Give me guys, everybody give me a perception check.
Oh, man.
You want me to do what?
I rolled.
There we go, that's a 31.
No, didn't make it. What else you got?
Holy
shit. You guys are ridiculous.
Ginger in here with the 20 again, but no plus, so just a flat 20.
Exactly. You rolled a nat 20. We had a nat 18, a nat 19, and then a 7 that still ended up with a 17, and a 7 that ended up with a 15. Jesus, you guys are actually pretty good at perception. You happen to notice, as you guys are turning around, you see a Sheeran, which is like a like bug creature.
Like an Ed Sheeran?
Yes, an Ed Sheeran, a little blonde guy.
Okay.
Or no, red-haired guy. Is he blonde or red-haired? He's red-haired.
He's red-haired,
right?
Yeah.
He's red-haired. Red-haired. Little red-haired guy walks past. As he walks past, he looks at you guys and goes, "And baby, no!"
Yeah, uh-huh.
But,
Anyway.
So yep.
Stupid.
But and that's it. He goes by. So that was
oh
it.
Great.
No. No, you see the Sheeran, which is a like an insectoid type humanoid, walk past and you see it kind of glance in like it was gonna come in. See you guys kind of scan over you and then just kind of turn off and keep going down the road.
Interesting.
I mean, like, you know, they see a group like us in the place that maybe they drink regularly, and they're like, I don't want to fuck with that.
I guess. I mean, I think I'm pretty inviting.
No, you're inviting, but and she's going to look at Scree and then very pointedly look at Sadoon.
Scree is a seriously misunderstood creature.
Oh, yeah, I know, but that doesn't stop, like, the perception, you know?
Scree's got a very big heart.
Yeah, I know.
That might be why he likes to eat them so much.
Have we ever seen Scree eat heart?
I have.
No, I'm asking out of character.
I don't think so.
Because I think Ginger's like error 404, image not found on her face. Boom.
I was so tempted for Scree to go, Kalima!
Good reference.
Is that Indiana Jones?
Yeah, Temple of Doom, second one. Kalima. Nom nom shivai! Nom nom shivai!
All right,
for
well.
A brief moment, you see the fear of God in Sadoon's eyes.
No. All right, well. Looks like we're turning heads a little bit. I don't like that so much.
I mean,
yep, let's get out of here.
Why don't you like turning heads? You are a very handsome man, Eddie.
He just kind of narrows his eyes. He's like not sure if she's mocking him.
I'm giving you a compliment, you ass.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I prefer flying under the radar. No pun intended.
Boo.
Sadoon, do you want the rest of this drink?
No pun intended.
I'm gonna shake the can at him. It's like 3/4 full.
Hell no.
He just grabs it, takes a drink.
It is like... It's not bad. If you had any type of refined taste at all, it probably wouldn't be very good to you. But if you're a person that's ever drunk like Bud Light on occasion or like Miller High Life, then
it's just fine.
Then it's perfectly fine. It is like, it tastes like a shitty piña colada, carbonated as well for some reason. But a little warm. That's probably the worst drawback of it. It is not a nice, like, cold drink like a piña colada should be. It is a warm, like lukewarm drink, like it's been sitting under a bar for years.
Yeah, I used to drink stuff like this with my friends after school.
Mm. Wait, you're educated?
He just kind of narrows his eyes. Yeah.
He's very smart. He doesn't really, like, do much with it besides fly, but no, he's smart.
Why is she being so... Okay, let's go.
Yeah, something's weird here.
Something's weird. She's being too nice.
Scree's going to point at the can and then hold up his hand with all his fingers raised.
Give it!
You want it, Scree?
No, he's talking to the bartender.
Oh.
Oh, he wants another...
He wants more.
Yeah, he'll kind of look and just be like, you know, no one wants these. And he like pulls out the rest of it. And it was literally, there was only one missing of a six pack. It was like a six pack of these things. Only one other one was missing. So now there's
like
still four left of it.
A six pack of canned Cosmopolitans?
Yes. And he hands four of them over to Scree on the little rings so he can carry them around.
Such Scree, like,
cursed idea.
Scree searches around in his like pouches and stuff.
Pretty proud of it.
And he pulls out a credit chip and it's got 200 credits on it. He's just like hands it over.
Oh no.
He like looks and he's just like, I appreciate it, little one, but that is on the house. And he kind of like pushes the creds back to you.
Scree pushes it back. And he points at the chairs that he's decimated and like taken parts off.
He's like, well, dude, I can upgrade to nicer chairs, okay? And he takes the chairs. Thank you, little one.
Scree takes the five pack and then, like, scrap from the chairs and heads out with his armful.
Yeah, so as you walk out, you see Virginia kind of, like, eyes kind of scrunched as you walk out with just debris from chairs and a five pack of piña colada drinks and making your way towards her car with just, like, random driftwood. And she's like, okay.
Just you get used to it.
Pushes the button and the door is open. Well, so did you guys get everything you needed to get in there?
Yeah.
No.
You might need to call the cops.
Most of us.
Might need to call the cops? Well, I mean, you guys are going to Stewards. They kind of are the cops.
I'm kidding.
Scree takes one of the drinks and like and blows off the dust on top of it and then offers it to Virginia.
I appreciate that, but I can't drink on the job. Thank you. I have to drive.
Eddie, can you...
Bites the can instead.
Can you take those from Scree? I imagine that those are going to be gone by the time we get there, and I don't really think we need a drunk Scree in, you know, the upcoming situation.
I'm not sure if there's much of a difference.
Yeah, Eddie would know.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, I mean, I guess we'll see. I mean, either way, I mean, he kind of leans in. He's like, look, either way, they're not going to like him. They're a little bit stuck up, and Scree's let's call him a free spirit.
You talk like you have first-hand experience, Eddie.
Let's go, Virginia.
You can't leave me hanging with that.
He just ignores her.
Eddie.
Yeah,
Eddie.
We're all in the car together.
Eddie.
So. Yeah.
She's like, she's ignoring her show now, and she's just glaring at Eddie and like snapping her fingers in front of his nose, trying
to. Puts his headphones on.
Get him to talk.
Nice. Interesting. Even Virginia gets in the car and like looks, and you can just see she has like her eyes are a little wide, like awkward, and like rolls up the little divider thing.
Not awkward. Everyone has secrets, all right.
You know, I was thinking about picking up a pet while I was here. I kind of could like do with a little purse dog.
You already have one. It's named Christo.
It's actually Aristo, but that's okay.
Oh, well, yeah, I'm sorry, whatever. You mixed you up with the sandwich.
We left Aristo in the car.
Yeah, he's been sitting in the car the entire time. Like, he was sitting there, like legs together, and he didn't notice it at first because he was watching the show still, and then after you guys were all gone, he was just like, he just kind of like sat there with like his knees together, hands on his knees, just kind of like look like not sure if he should get up and follow or if he should just sit there. So he just kind of froze and stayed there.
Scree's like sucking on the first of his 5 cans of drink.
Okay.
And he stops. And then he slowly pushes the 4-pack towards Aristo.
Aristo kind of like looks at Scree and then looks down at the cans and then looks at Scree and then looks down at the cans and slowly leans his hand out and like with just doing the one hand thing where you kind of like apply pressure to pop it out of the ring because he's too afraid to use both hands at the same time in front of Scree. So he just like gets one can and he like brings it back up and he's just like, thank you. Kind of holds it up and he pops it and starts drinking it. Because he's not going to not if Scree offered it to him.
Yep. Scree's going to continue eating / drinking the can.
He leans into just anybody, whether it's Eddie or Ginger. Eddie's got his headphones on, so Ginger. I'm not supposed to eat it, am I?
It's a can. You don't eat a can.
I didn't think so, but Scree does it.
Right. But have you seen Scree, hon?
Yeah, it's scary. But trying to be brave. Trying to be brave, boy.
You're doing great, honey.
I can't help but like lean into this like just pathetic character, and I'm like, it sometimes hurts my heart to do the fucking lines, but it cracks me up at the same time. So. Like, Aristo has like become like my own little private joke now that I just love playing this. Just like, oh jeez, like.
I love him so
he gives much. he gives me a lot of pleasure. Anyways, shit. Okay, so yeah, Virginia goes ahead and fires up the car again, goes down the road a little bit, hangs a Yui, comes on back. And then kind of makes the same type of reverse turns getting back out to the main road. Then hangs a left, heads back towards the main drag, back towards that wall again. And so you guys are pretty close to it already. But as you kind of get closer to the ending of this thing, you start to see, like, as the car speeds down the road, that faux sunlight, like, drifts away kind of and is replaced by, like, neon signs and holo ads and street lights now instead. And those smiles kind of disappear. And folks tend to pay, like, the car no mind and other folks no mind. Like, over there, it was, like, the touristy area. Everybody was smiling and, oh, how you guys doing? Da-da-da-da-da. Trying to sell people shit. And now, like, this is where the real Absalom starts. Like, this is where, like, the real people live. And it's not the worst of it, because anybody that's been here before, like, you know the worst of it is, like, what's called the spike. And that's, like, when you get into the under depths of it. But, like, in the arms, you're still decently okay. But, yeah. So as you continue down the street, you're getting closer and closer to the station center known as the Eye. The architecture begins to look a little more ornate. And the lights grow brighter and more frequent as you get to see like this kind of gradient of property value start to increase now as you get closer. So it's like this very shoppy touristy area, then kind of gets like the in-between is a little like more like not bad, but like definitely lower middle class. And then the closer you get back to the center, it starts picking back up and the places start looking nicer. And yeah, the lights get brighter. So as you get kind of to the end of it, you finally come to this giant wall and you get to what looks like a wall with what seems like a tunnel that leads through. And the road kind of divides into like this almost like four-lane highway that goes towards this tunnel. And at the entrance of the tunnel, you see this like small station. It's almost like a toll booth. And cars pull up, and then you see kind of, if you guys are watching, you see like them pull up, their windows roll down, they like wave something, then like this door, essentially like this big door opens up and then the car can move through and then it shuts behind them. And as your driver approaches, as you guys pull right up to this wall, you see they roll down their window and they hold out this little laminate card and like towards the kiosk. And when they do, this big like green thumbs up comes up on the screen, and then you see the doors open up for you guys. And ahead of you is this very simple tunnel. It's like just wide enough for, say, like a large truck to pass through. And it's illuminated in this like orangish hue by like staggered utility lights down the center of the ceiling. And as the car enters this dim tunnel, only for like a minute, you're just kind of cruising through this tunnel. And then you kind of see this like light at the end of it. And then all of a sudden it just like explodes into light. All of a sudden you come out. And it is just like a summer day again coming out in this area. And you emerge into what the Pact Worlders would know as the Eye. You see above you is this solid, transparent dome. And beyond that, the stars and even the sun burning off brightly in the distance. And though the night sky is visible, you can plainly see everything is lit up from the sun. Like the sun is literally just lighting this place up like it was a planet. But because it's a clear dome, you can actually see the stars at the same time too. It's pretty cool. As you come out, you see the street is lined with trees and flowers and well-manicured shrubberies. There's these high-rises of brilliant twisted architecture jut up into the sky, crowning what you know as Jatembe Park, which is very much like a central park of New York. And as the car continues, you see folks sitting in the grasses, having picnics, laughing, walking, jogging on trails. Young lovers exchange glances on park benches. And elderly folks feed like little animals around small ponds, and like in the Pact Worlds, this would be like, this is essentially like the center of the universe. This is where it's at. This is the center of the Pact Worlds. What are you guys like doing as you're cruising through this? When you see all this, like, what are your characters thinking and what's going through their heads? Are they in awe of this place? Are they just thinking about the conversation that's about to happen?
Would it be safe to assume that Eddie's seen this before?
That's up to you. He could. I would imagine all of you at some point have probably been on Absalom Station. In fact, I kind of, with some of the like the backstory stuff we did, like I assumed most of it took place on Absalom Station. It didn't have to. It could have been in a lot of different places, you know, that are similar. But you know, this is again the center of the universe as far as this area goes. So chances are you've been here at some point. Actually, I know for a fact you all have been here, because this is where you got your job to go to Nakondas. You got it from Abadar Corp, which is stationed here. So you've been here, but whether you've been in the Eye and to Jatembe Park, that's up to you. You can decide that.
Absolutely not. This place is too high class.
Cool. Nice.
What are you talking about? Like, this is the beating heart. Too high class.
I want you to look at me.
There's probably a sign somewhere that says no goblins, and there's probably a reason for that, and Scream may or may not have had something to do with that in...
That's funny, and canon.
Past?
Yeah. There is a keep the goblins off the grass sign. You know, I would like to say that's the case, but I can't imagine, because a goblin is still, like, a race of people. No matter what they did, I can't imagine them. Like, that's some like high quality racism right there. If they were just like, this little shit caused some problems, so now there's a sign that says none of this race are allowed here anymore. So I don't think that would be there, but there might be some places that have signs up with your picture that says you can't come in anymore.
Like blacklisted.
Yup.
So. Him and his clan.
Maybe. Maybe.
Yeah, I've done a couple of jobs out of here. You know, Absalom Station is just like, it's so easy to come back to because it's just out here in space, you know? Planet side can be a little boring.
I mean, yeah, it's easy to come back to. It always takes the same amount of time from no matter where you go.
Mechanically, correct.
Yeah, for yeah.
Like Eddie's just sunk.
Yeah. I think Ginger's just giving him a blank look because it does not occur to her to think of that.
It does, yeah. That, how the Starstone works and how everybody can... Hell, I didn't know it until, yeah, when we were coming back to Absalom Station, someone brought it to my attention. Like, actually, it works this way. I'm like, oh, Abadam.
Oh. Yeah, you know, I don't ever really pay attention to that stuff. I just kind of, like...
I noticed.
Yeah. Hey. Yeah. But what about you, Sadoon? So, like, why don't you like it?
Probably for the same reason that Eddie doesn't. The stewards.
Oh, but they're not all that's here.
I think at that point he's just sunk down in his seat listening to music. He does not seem to care.
It's pretty much right under their nose, so...
Yeah, but, like, if you're not in their crosshairs, there's the salons, there's a couple of massage parlors that are really nice, like... Oh, you know, I haven't seen my stylist and have been out of here. Not like I ever need much work.
Sadoon just groans and turns their attention to the frickin' show on the TV.
Nice.
Oh, you're finally taking an interest?
I've been watching the entire time.
Yeah, but you don't ever, like, you know, you don't get as into it as... And she jerks a thumb at Aristo.
Oh, what?
Nothing, babe. Go back to your show.
Okay. Hey. Chin back on his fists, like, and elbows on his knees, watching the fucking television again as he slowly sips on a lukewarm pina colada fucking carbonated
fizzy drink.
Beverage. Yeah.
It's a bit fizzy.
So, similar, actually, it's funny that you say that, Ginger, because now that you're back on the Pact Worlds, and now that you're back in the eye, all of a sudden, you get reception on your datapad. Whether it's like a personal datapad, I don't know. What would you say? Because I assume everybody kind of has their own little personal computers. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like cell phones or whatever. What does yours look like? What would you say it is? Like, is it like a jewelry, something that's attached to you, like
oh,
a cell phone?
Oh, no, it's a hand mirror.
It is the hand mirror. The hand mirror is your communicator. Oh, I like that. I like that, like your little hand mirror, like so, like a compact hand mirror, or
yeah.
like a handle hand mirror.
No, like okay. like compact.
Okay, I like that. That's fun. Okay, so that's your thing. So now that you're back in, all of a sudden you start getting messages, and almost all of them are like there's like a slew of them that come through at once. It just goes crazy. It's like ding 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 ding. Like all of a sudden then. What would you say your ringtone is? That's just, there's no reason for it, other than in my head it had, and like I just kept thinking that maybe it was the theme song to fucking Galactic Runway or whatever. Or Project Galaxy. But what would you say
your
ringtone is? You think about that. You don't have to remind it. If you have one, that's great, but if you don't have it, that's fine. We can come back to it.
No, because now I'm trying to imagine like what the theme song for Project Galaxy would be.
Yeah, it's very good.
It could, you know, it could be a recording of a voice going, ooh, ah, ooh, ah. Just something weird like that.
Yeah. I'll ask Ian to make something.
That's awesome. That is awesome. Okay, so yeah, so that starts going off, and it keeps, like, cutting itself off because it keeps replaying it and replaying it and replaying it. And as you check your messages, you see that it just keeps saying, from JJ. And it's all these little messages like, where the hell are you? We have responsibilities. I have a contract. We need to talk about this. You were supposed to be here by this day. Why the hell aren't you answering my messages? Da 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 da. Which you would know to be your, usually when you're in the Pact Worlds, your agent, essentially.
Yeah. Oh, JJ. JJ called and I missed it? Okay, sorry guys. How long till we get to the place?
It's, I don't know, 5 minutes tops.
Okay, I can call him quick. And I'll dial AJ and sit in the back of the car with my little compact.
We're gonna be here for half an hour.
No, I can be quick.
So yeah, it rings like once and immediately it picks up and it's his voice, cause gravelly voice, like,
Ginger! Ginger, I've been waiting! Ginger, what? Where have you been? I've been trying to get in touch with you.
Okay, like, take it down a notch or two, cause I've got people in the car with me. Been off-world, bae.
Off-world? You're supposed to tell me when you go off-world, Ginger. Come on, we're working here. We're supposed to be doing things. You can't just go off-world on me. Come on, I got commitments I made you for. You know I had to cancel three different contracts, three different viewings. You know that? You know how much that hurts my bottom line? Come on, Ginger. You gotta work with me. Like,
I don't... You're the money side of things, you know, but can't do anything without your talent.
Exactly. You're the best. You're the best, Ginger. Everybody knows you're the best in the biz. But, mm-hmm. You know, you gotta work with me. You gotta tell me these things, because I have to work for you. May help me help you. That's how it is. Just help me help you, Ginger. That's all. That's all I'm asking.
All right. I'm sorry, JJ. Well, you know, I'm back in town for a bit, here on Absalon. But probably gonna be taking off pretty quick, so if you've got like a quick job or something, I could take care of that, but otherwise you're gonna have to wait.
Ah, you're killing me. You keep me on my toes, Bubala. Okay, this is what we're gonna do. Give me a few hours, outline something up. So we'll figure something out. I'll send it over to you, and we'll get something figured out, okay?
Okay. Yeah.
I love you. You're wonderful. You're the best. Kisses and lovings and one. Okay.
Yeah, I'll keep my compact, you know, on me.
Yeah. He's like, JJ out. And he clicks the phone. I hope I don't have to play that character much more, because that hurt the shit out of my throat.
Oh, God.
It's like, no problem. I got this, like, raspy New Yorker. And then it's like, I'm trying to get the end. New York, baby. Yeah.
Oh, jeez. Oh, gosh.
Yeah. So now I'm fine. A little warm diet Pepsi will fix it.
Sorry about him. You know, he gets
worried.
That's
what I'm drinking.
You know, you don't always have to be on speaker, right?
Right.
Put
but
that
like.
Shit up to your ear.
Well.
I'm just giving you shit.
I don't have anything for that. Yeah, you know, like, he's just kind of he's a big personality, and you kind of don't want that sort of personality in your ear, like, directly. Just, you know, degrees of separation.
I know the feeling.
See? Eddie knows.
Mm-hmm.
So who's your JJ, Eddie?
Don't worry about it.
Dune and Eddie share a knowing look.
I love you.
Where do you guys, I mean, don't get me wrong, there's obviously going to be like apps and stuff that like you guys can, or like boards that you could get jobs off of and stuff like that, but who is your like, who, like, is that why Ginger's in the group? Is she your face? Like, does she do the meets and stuff to do it? Like, who comes up with the like the actual jobs, like when you do the jobs, who does the meets, who does all the, you know, the face-to-face and stuff? Is it Eddie because he runs the ship? Like, what do you guys think? Who do you think would be like in charge of that?
I figured they tag teamed it.
Okay. I'd say Aris is usually involved too, being as tech savvy as he is. He can give like Ginger and Eddie a good idea of, you know, can we do this?
It's a good call. Be like whether something's possible with the money they have and the tech they have. Like,
I think it also depends on the type of work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If it's like smuggling, I mean, that's Eddie. That's Eddie's domain. He did that for a long time, just with Scree. So
those were the fun days.
Yeah. So yeah, I think a combination.
Okay, cool. That's fun. I was just wondering. But continuing on. As you guys are rolling through the park, you actually hear the orc woman, Virginia. She's not just the orc woman anymore. She's Virginia. Sigh. As you guys are driving through, like almost like taken aback by the park as much as, you know, some of you guys may have been. Well, maybe not. You guys didn't seem to be too impressed by it. But, you know,
You know, I never get tired of seeing this. It's such a pretty place. I'm a sucker for a romantic spot. Like, you know, my dad proposed to my mom right over there by the Triune Monument. And she, like, gestures over to this, like, giant marble statue of these three, like, large overlapping concentric, not concentric circles, but overlapping circles, kind of like a Venn diagram. And in front of it, you see these, like, holographic projectors cast this weird image of, like, this mist, that, like, purple, dark grayish mist swirling around the entire structure, which just immediately just, you know, reminds you of the drift. It, like, looks like drift energy, like, swirling around this thing. But eventually, after several minutes of driving and taking in the beauty of the eye and Jitembe Park, you arrive at your destination. The building you pull up to is nothing like the other architecture in this place. Like, no ornate iconography, no flourishes or twisting, you know, design or anything like that. No, this place is a fortress. Eddie, you would actually know this growing up under a captain, that the stewards might work with the Pact World government, but they do not answer to them. They are a completely independent peacekeeping force that is comprised of, like, the best of the best. And though they've never had any, like, serious disagreements with the Pact World governments, there's always a chance that someday, like, the core values of the stewards will conflict with the government. So this facility is built to withstand, like, any siege that anybody could throw at it. Like, it is a fortress. And so as you guys pull up, your driver pulls the car up to the curb in front of the building and hurriedly gets out, opens the doors for all of you guys, and goes back to her stance. Kind of, she got this little arms crossed at the waist, like holding her wrist, you know, style that you see, like, chauffeurs do. And just waits for you guys to debark.
Scree is like, he's finished his drinks and he's kind of almost passed out next to Oris.
Oh, he's tuckered out. You gonna stay in the car, little buddy?
I don't think that bar was such a good idea anymore.
Suck it up.
Should I carry Scree?
That'd be alright.
Virginia is kind of like, do you guys think you're gonna be a long time? Do you guys want me to wait for you when you come out? I can hang out here.
I'm gonna be honest, I have no idea. You might as well just head out and we'll call you.
Okay. Yeah, I got my number. If you guys need to call anywhere, get around anywhere. I'll take you anywhere you want to go. If you got any questions, no problem. I'd say I'm essentially, until you guys, you know, leave the station, I've been paid up front to follow you guys around, and they have a retainer fee on me, so you just give me a call.
Appreciate it.
Yep. She gives a wave and gets in the car, and you see the hovers off and takes off down the road.
Let's get this over with.
Thanks for listening to the show. If you enjoyed, please like, follow, and leave a comment. Also, you can support us at patreon.com/sqlrpod. You can follow us on Twitter @sqlrpod or join our Discord through our invite banner at shortquestlongrest.wordpress.com. Keep smiling. We'll see you next time, fam.